This lesson is one, if you would, that is designed to bring about a little bit of hope. Because in the world today, as we live in this world and go through this life and we see so many tragic things and hear of so many tragic things and we hear of friends going through things, or whether we lose a loved one or whatever it might be, we always seem to find someone that's hopeless. And I want to tell you a little bit about myself today, about how I used to be in this hopeless situation. And I want you to know about this hope that is for the hopeless. So many people today are plagued with the feeling of, I'm not wanted, or everything I do isn't good enough. So many people today have this mindset that nothing I could ever do could ever live up to your standard. And these are all feelings that so many people today have. They feel like, I'm just not good enough, I'm worthless. And all this negativity. And I believe that in our life today, we see in our social values and how society has changed in the core teachings of what takes place in our society today, that it's any wonder that we're in the direction that we are, where you got thoughts of suicide that are just at all-time highs. You got people that go about shooting up their schools. You got people that feel like life is meaningless. They got nothing to live for. There's no focus for them. Our values have turned and shifted in this country to say that there's no longer a God. People are pushing this. It's increasingly unpopular to stand up, Zane, and to say, I'm a Christian. That's hard. I bet it's hard being a college student today. It was hard for me back whenever I was a college student. Because I had friends coming up to me that I met at college say, hey, let's go party tonight. And I'd say, I don't do that. What do you mean you don't do that, man? I said, well, I'm a Christian. Well, yeah, but that's okay. You can still go party. And you have all this peer pressure around you to not live a godly life or to not live as a Christian would. And so as a result, if you stand up for yourself and say, I don't believe in this, you begin to be ridiculed, mocked, belittled, made fun of. Push just to see. I'm going to push his buttons just to see if he's going to flip. I've had people do that with me before. Watch, I know he's a Christian. He's supposed to be a Christian. I'm going to push his buttons and I'm going to push him. I'm just going to keep pushing him until he finally flies off the handle. And I've done that before, where I flew off the handle and they got just what they wanted me to do. But it's any reason, is it any wonder in our society today that so many people feel so hopeless? Let's define hope if we could. This is from Webster's 1828 dictionary. It comes with eSword. I guess it's an optional download. But hope says it's a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. And then he goes through the difference between wish and desire and so forth. But hope is this expectation, even if it's just a small expectation, I expect that I could finally obtain this goal, this value. I could finally reach it. I desire it. And I can obtain it. That's what hope is. And so for fellow people that have no hope, they feel like, why even bother? I can't obtain it. I can never reach that goal. That goal is unreachable. Why? Why feel like that? Why bother? Nothing I can do can change anything or anyone in my life, so what's the meaning of it? You know, people are looking for hope. There are people out there looking for hope. Maybe some of you today are looking for hope or have thought about this idea of hope. It's a popular notion. There's a lot of folks out there who look for hope, who desire hope. There was an entire campaign based around the idea of hope. And people wanted this. They want hope. And this idea of hope was passed, of hope and change. People wanted this hope. People wanted this change. This wasn't just to get too political or anything. I didn't want my sermon to get subpoenaed or so. Just to say that people desire hope and they desire change. This campaign that happened, I was trying to look up the statistics if I could to find just how many people were at the presidential inauguration there as President Obama stood up in his inauguration, and there was 1.8 million people out there chanting, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can." I bet that had to have been quite the sight to see. It was quite the sight to see on a picture. Just all these people there in Washington flooding the streets there, chanting. Because they wanted hope. They want something to believe in. But the hope and the change that was being promised is a hope and change that can never be fulfilled. It is a hope and change that was just going to leave people empty, just as empty as when they had started. Because it was a hope and change that was built upon the foundations of this world and not on heaven. We just sang a song about it. Ed, you sang "There Stands a Rock on the Shores of Time." Some people build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. People want things to believe in. They want something to hope for. But when there's no expectation of anything greater, it's just empty. Now, I went through a period of time in my life to where I felt like I was hopeless. I felt like none of you could even understand what I was going through. And a way that I found my release, since I didn't have no one really to talk to, a way that I found a release to how I felt was in the music that I listened to. And so I want to share with you some cleaned up versions of these songs that I used to listen to. But it is what it says up there. It's music with no hope. The first one says, "Wish I was too dead to cry. My self-affliction fades. Stones to throw at my creator. Masochists to which I cater. I wish I had a reason. My flaws are open season. For this I gave up trying. One good turn deserves my dying. You don't need to bother. I don't need to be. I'll keep slipping farther. And once I hold on, I won't let go till it bleeds." No hope. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know this until here recently, that the guy that wrote this is an atheist. Didn't know it. Don't believe in God. Another one. This was a real popular one with me back in the day. Was, "Cut my life into pieces. I've reached my last resort. Suffocation. No breathing. Do you even care if I die bleeding? Would it be wrong? Would it be right if I took my life tonight? Chances are that I might. Mutilation out of sight. And I'm contemplating suicide. because I'm losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody would tell me I'm fine. I'm losing my sight. I'm losing my mind. Wish somebody would tell me I'm fine. And then he would go on in that song to say, nothing's all right. Nothing is fine. There's no hope. Another one. To my mother, to my father. It's your son or it's your daughter. Are my screams loud enough for you to hear me? Should I turn this up for you? I sit here locked inside my head, remembering everything you said. The silence gets us nowhere. Gets us nowhere way too fast. And there's more. You know, once this was a regular part of my life. I mean, these songs and these albums, they were just full of messages just like this. And you might be sitting here after just kind of reading just the first little bits of these songs and saying, why would you listen to something so negative? That's how I felt. They related to me. They were going through whatever I was going through. I would drive around on dirt roads for hours upon hours upon hours just listening to these songs over and over and over again. And you get to listening to these songs over and over again, and pretty soon you start to believe that you're nothing. Pretty soon you get to believe in that nothing is all right. That no one can help you, that you're unreachable. One of the greatest things me and Ian ever done after I became a Christian, Sean, was we took some of those CDs and we broke them. Because we weren't going to give those to anyone else, you see. We didn't want no one else to have those things because they promoted such a message of hopelessness. We broke them. Got them out of our lives. I was talking to my brother-in-law not so long ago. I guess maybe Ian might have been involved in this situation too, or in this conversation too, but he said to me, you know, the problem with you Christians is that you're so worried about what's going to happen to you whenever you die. I don't care about what happens to me when I die, he said. Of course, he don't believe in God. He don't have a God. All I care about is right now, my life right now, what I can do for myself and for my family. I don't care what happens when I die. There's no hope for him after this life is over. You know, with God, there's hope, even in the most hopeless situations. And not until you fully put your trust in God do you really understand the meaning and the comfort that comes along with being a Christian. The comfort and the joy that you have that you once didn't have. The goal that was always so unattainable that you can finally reach because you have hope. Here's a popular t-shirt. It says, no God, no hope. And then in the middle it says, no God, no hope. I thought that was pretty clever. RG3 was something that RG3 was wearing here recently. And he had on a blue shirt that was just like this. But he was going in for a press conference for this, some kind of NFL press conference. And he had this shirt on and they said, you can't wear that shirt. You got to turn it inside out. And so RG3 had to turn in his shirt that said, no God, no hope. You know, I'm so glad that I know God today and I know the hope because of my relationship I have with Him. And you can too. There's a new song that I sing. And this song really means a lot to me. It's in this book, 473. But the first line there is, there's hope in this cruel and sinful world. When you're tempted from all sides, let the Savior be your guide. You'll have hope in this cruel and sinful world if you'll just put your hand in the hand of the Lord's. Just put your hand in the hand of the Lord. Let Him guide you from all sin. Let Him make you free within. Just trust in Him. He'll provide you a way if you just put your hand in the hand of the Lord's. You know how many of my friends and I were going about just being hopeless? I mean, from our mid-teenage years going up into our early 20s, just hopeless. Not knowing that there's a God that loved us. Not knowing the sacrifice that was made upon our behalf. The price that was paid for us. Not knowing the help that we could have. And so this song really means a lot to me. We find hope in God. In Psalms 130 in verse number 5, he says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. His word brings us hope. Romans 15 and verse 4, he says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We can have hope in God's word. We can have hope knowing of the great sacrifice, knowing of the patience, the comfort that it brings us. There's hope for us today that believe in God, that trust in God. The hope brings us closer to God. Hebrews 7 and 19, he says, For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope. Of better hope did, if I could ever get that read right. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And so we draw closer to God by the hope that we have. And it's a hope that the world doesn't understand, this idea of a Savior, of a God who would send down His Son to this earth. People of the world think that this is foolishness. I get told about how foolishness this is about once a week or so. How crazy and silly, what a ridiculous idea to believe that there's a God that would send His own Son down to save us who are so sinful. We can draw closer to God. The Bible tells us in Psalms 147, verse 11, The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. The world would have us to leave all that behind. They don't want us to trust in God. They want us to trust in other things. They get to talking about money and they want us to trust in riches. And how many times have I thought within myself that if I just had a few more dollars, if I just had a larger bank account, if I just won the lottery, of all these different things I could do, you know, the world wants us to put our trust in our bank account. And what are we going to retire on? What kind of income will we have? I don't know how you feel about money. Or money isn't evil. I've heard several people say the love of money. Or money is the root of all evil, but you know, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. I have a desire in me, however good or pure it might be, to have money. And I think we all, in this country especially, have a desire that we want money. Because it's how we maintain our lives, it's how we pay our bills, it's how we buy groceries or put gas in our cars or whatever it might be. We desire this money. Some of us desire it more than others. But you know, money doesn't buy health. You could be the most wealthy man in the country and have poor health and can't buy any kind of medication that's going to fix you. Money doesn't buy you friends. Yes, you can have people that would hang around with you and be like, hey, I'm your friend. Remember me? Money doesn't buy salvation. First Timothy 6:17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Not putting our stock in uncertain riches. Because there's no hope in them. One day all those riches will just go away. What was the, I don't know, the Steve Jobs, was that the iPhone guy? I'm sure he became very rich. Me and Lori, we were watching this documentary of Apple. And Steve Jobs, actually, he had gotten down real low. The company Apple had fired him, didn't want nothing to do with him. And then he came back with fresh ideas and really helped catapult them into what they are today. And I'm sure it made him very rich, very wealthy. But you know his money didn't go with him when he died. All that money that he had, it stayed right here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. They want us to put our hope in the ever-shifting sands. If we can just get people a little bit further away from God, it's just a gradual change. Just a little bit further, a little bit further away from God, a little bit further away from God. Get you to start trusting in uncertain riches. Get you to start putting your faith in other things. Just draw you a little bit closer and a little bit closer away from the Lord. I know Ian talks a lot about evolution. And he's been doing the evolution series. But they want us to put our hope in a science today. How many times have I heard this since I started talking to people of no religion, if you will? If you crazy religious Christian folk, if y'all would just get rid of that ancient book, there ain't no meaning to it no more. It has no meaning in our society today. You need to believe in science. You need to put your stock in science. Hope and science. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Avoiding those things. Because there is no hope in them. There's only hope in this life, they'll teach you. Don't worry about what's going to happen whenever you die because there's nothing else out there. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish and the hope of the unjust man perisheth. The hope of the unjust man perisheth. They don't have any hope in this life. I felt bad about myself here recently. One of these fellas that we've been talking to or that I've been talking to a lot that don't believe in God, his mother passed away. And I didn't know what to tell him. I didn't know if I should say, well, you'll see her again one day. What do you say to him? You don't believe in it. So I didn't say anything. There's no hope for them after death. There's hope in this life only. And whenever this life expires, that's it. Goodbye. You never see them again. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them what also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I had no words of comfort for him. What do you say to someone that has no faith? Sorry about your luck, you know. Better luck next time. They don't understand the hope that we have. And he says, because we have that hope, we're not like those in the world that have no hope. And the resurrection of Christ and the hope that we have to see them again. And he says, wherefore that we need to comfort one another with these words. Because we have this hope. Proverbs 14 and 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. We have hope. Where does our hope come from? I think we already answered that, but in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, he says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Boy, I fell right into that category, didn't I? Because I was that person, maybe you were too, who's at one time afar off, having no hope. Sean, I used to have no hope. But he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Our hope comes from the Scriptures. Our hope comes from the blood of Christ, from obedience to Him. Forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14, he says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, most of the songs that we sang, matter of fact, all of them that I was taking notes of, we sing about great mansions in the heaven above. We hope for those great mansions. That heavenly home will surely be mine. Someday. All these songs that we sing that had all this meaning of hope in them. And it's so much vastly different from who I used to be and maybe from who you used to be. A different message, a different meaning, a different lifestyle because of the hope that we now have through Christ. So how do we spread this hope, you know? If we have this hope, if we've received this hope and we know that there are others out there who have no hope, who desire hope, what do we do? How do we spread it? Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." What was preached to every creature? The gospel. And we're still preaching that gospel today because of the Great Commission given to us. We gain our hope in baptism. He said in Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You can have that same hope. If you've never obeyed the Lord in baptism, there's no better time to do it than now. If you're going through this life in this hopeless manner, you don't have to go through this life in this hopeless manner anymore. Believe me, because I was in that shoe. I sat there on the pew and felt that hopelessness. And as I heard the gospel preached and gained the hope, there's a hope that everyone can have through obeying the gospel. Jeremiah 18:11, he says, "Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." And they said, "There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." The Lord beckons us to turn from it. Pleads with us. Jesus called unto us to come to him. And so really today, where do you belong? Do you belong to God? If you belong to God, then your hope is in him. And you know the type of hope that I'm talking about. You understand it. But maybe at one time in your life you stood in the same shoes that I stood in and you have no hope. Maybe you're in those shoes now. You don't have to be. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Do you trust in the Lord? Turn to God today. There's no better time today than to trust in him, to turn to him. There's so many other things that we could talk about today and go on about, but to tell you that there is hope in this life. There's hope in the life to come. There's hope in our Lord Jesus Christ because he bought us. We're paid for with the price through his blood. And so have you ever been obedient to the gospel? Have you been washed in the blood of Christ? Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life? If you haven't, turn to God today. Gain that hope that I'm talking about. If you're not fully satisfied with it, the Lord will return your misery.